Welcome to the Business Podcast, where we interview professionals across all industries. Hey, it's Simon. Welcome back. Today we have Art Weinstein, professor of marketing at Nova Southeastern University and author of Superior Customer Value, Finding and Keeping Customers in the Now Economy. Professor Weinstein, it's a pleasure to have you here with us today. How are you?
Hi there, Iman. Thank you for inviting me. It's great to be with you and your listeners this evening.
Fantastic. Perhaps you can kick us off and tell us a little bit about yourself. Maybe share something that most people would not know about you.
Sure, happy to do that. Some of you may be familiar with my work. I basically work in two areas, business-to-business market segmentation and customer value. In fact, according to Google Scholar, my research in these areas ranks in the top five worldwide. What you probably don't know is that I got into both of these areas by accident. So, as an example, in market segmentation, years ago, I ran a small business development center at Florida International University, and we used to do workshops for the community. And I had a program called 10 Marketing Tips for Entrepreneurs, and one of them was on segmentation. And it seemed to get a lot of interest. So I wrote my first article many years ago about market segmentation. And I was delighted and surprised that a publisher contacted me out of the blue and said, hey, how about writing a book on this subject? And that ultimately led to my first book on market segmentation. And as far as the customer value area, I also got into that area unintentionally. A former dean was a senior executive at Koch Industries, not the soft drink company, the energy one, K-O-C-H. And at that company, they were doing a lot of value-driven management. And he thought that our business school can use a refresh. And he had this idea of value-driven management. And myself and a colleague embraced it. And we went on to create a definitive course at the MBA level on customer value, which more than 12,000 students have now taken.
Well, first off, congrats on your success. That sounds phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
If we go back into the earlier stages of your career, maybe you can talk to us a little bit about that. How did you get your start professionally? And perhaps you can walk us through how you got from there to what you're doing now.
Yeah, sure. So I got an undergraduate degree from the University of South Florida in Tampa. And I was able to break into the marketing research field. It took a couple of years. It was a little challenging, but I was fortunate enough to get hired by AC Nielsen. I'm sure you're familiar with Nielsen, the world's largest marketing research firm. And I worked for them for 4 years. And at that time, I wanted to get ahead. So I got my MBA. And while I was in the university environment, an opportunity came up to run a small business development center. So I took that, and it was very interesting because I got to do some consulting and research, and I get to meet, professors and so forth. And at the time, myself and another person developed a marketing consulting firm geared for professional services. And in that academic environment, I was given an opportunity to teach a marketing class beyond doing a little simple workshop as an adjunct instructor. And I taught a principles of marketing course, and I really enjoyed it. And I said, maybe I should think about being a professor. So I had 10 years of experience in marketing management and research and strategy. And then I went ahead and got a PhD. In fact, I was the first graduate in marketing at Florida International University and the second overall doctoral candidate in business. And, so that's how I got my start and, became a professor of marketing. Took a position at Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York, was there for a couple of years, and then realized that while it was a good academic environment, I really, preferred, working with a school in Florida, get an opportunity to get hired at Nova Southeastern University, and, been there since.
That's phenomenal. I'm sure along the way you have accumulated a wealth of wisdom. Maybe you could share a piece of when it comes to marketing, maybe you can share a piece of wisdom that might come to mind within your domain of expertise.
Sure. I like to actually look sometimes outside of marketing for influences as well as inside. And, when I think of, wisdom, I'm a big music fan. And there's a gentleman, the late David Briggs. He was the longtime producer of the rock legend Neil Young. And he had a very simple quote. He said, "Be great or be gone." And I thought about that, and it really relates to my work in segmentation, because the key in market segmentation is whatever you do, you want to try to dominate your niche. And I believe that great work is great work and is adaptable to many formats. So it could be a presentation, could be a video, maybe scholarly articles, could be trade articles, could be blog posts, could even be a podcast like we're doing this evening and so forth. Or as our digital friends in marketing tell us, develop, promote, and share evergreen content.
That totally makes sense. And when it comes to something that you might have learned over the course of the last year and a half, if we will, that has shifted your outlook when it comes to your profession or overall to what you do in life, does anything come to mind?
Yeah, it does. This whole idea of working from home has received a lot of attention in the pandemic, as you know. And, the whole idea when I was thinking about it is, I've been doing remote work most of my life as a marketer and as a professor. In fact, many years ago, when I was with AC Nielsen as a market researcher, I was in charge of the Publix account, the leading supermarket chain in the state and, one of the top 10, nationally. And I spent about 3 days a week working with Publix, either in their stores or in their corporate headquarters. And the other 2 days, since Nielsen was headquartered in Chicago, worked at home and did a lot of work on, research reports and market analyses and so forth. And, so I've been doing this, for a long time. And what I've learned, I guess, over the past year and a half, as I've had to change my teaching perspective a lot and do more online and more hybrid courses and so forth, is that remote work can be as good or arguably better than what you're doing from the office. It's challenging. The keys, of course, is you got to have the right mindset, you got to master your time, and you got to have the best tools and technologies to accomplish it.
And to add to that, perhaps a common thought of what might make working from home better in some instances is the ability to focus more. Now, if that's not your top thought on what it might be, what else comes to mind for you?
Well, I think it is. I think that's key of, focus. And I think it's also, the situation is that you don't have as much wasted time. By wasted time, the commute, the driving to the office, the endless meetings. We still have endless meetings at times on Zoom, but, hopefully you can manage them effectively. And being in your home environment, you have a little bit more control over how you spend your time. So I like to, use the approach of I work well in when I have bursts and breaks. And by a burst, what I mean is like a period that's uninterrupted, maybe 2 or 3 hours that I could really dive deep into a project, which, I won't be interrupted, like someone's going to come into my office, to say hello, or, so I can, do that. And then also, being aware that, you got to move around a little bit after a couple of hours to keep that peak creativity. go on and do some other things, you know, as well. And, you know, just to kind of recharge the batteries.
Certainly. And there's this idea that comes to mind as you're saying that, called attention residue, if I recall it correctly, where it might take around 20 minutes for the mind to refocus a task that it was working on after getting interrupted. And so that's very interesting. Good that point. You align to that.
Yeah. So, and I feel that, you know, that helps, you know, because I spend a lot of time writing and doing, you know, research and, you know, teaching online. There's a lot of course preparation. And it's great, you know, when I have these bursts, these periods that I, you know, can just get like a lot done. And sometimes you surprise yourself and you say, hey, got a whole lot done in this 2-hour block that if I was in the office, this might have taken me 4 hours, you know?
Wow. Conversely, what would you say has been one of the biggest challenges of your career? What comes to mind when I ask that?
Yeah, I'd say probably, you know, the biggest challenge was to have that career switch from being a practitioner to an academic. And, you know, because when you're, you know, working in marketing, you know, you have a little bit different, you know, mindset of what you're going to be doing every day. And then, you know, to switch careers, like in my case, you know, I then to get as far as I needed to do in the career, I needed to get a more advanced degree, even though arguably I was overeducated with the MBA previously, had to get the PhD, and that takes, you know, several years. And you also got some financial considerations when you're doing that. Like I had to give up my full-time job, and, you know, on the business side, I had to phase the research firm out in the last year or two. But you have to view it as a long-term investment to get you where you, you know, need to be.
Most certainly. And what was your research thesis at the time? What was your dissertation topic?
Oh, great question. So my research dissertation, it's been a long time, and I remember it like yesterday. It was market definition in industrial technology markets. And unlike most doctoral students, I came into the program and I knew exactly that that's what I wanted to do. And the reason that I knew that is that at that time, I was doing some seminars, these 2-day programs on business-to-business segmentation, and flying around the country, going to places like the University of Pittsburgh, SMU, Southern Methodist University, University of Wisconsin, Madison, as well as companies. And I was doing these 1- and 2-day programs and got a great chance to meet a lot of top-notch business marketers. And one day at one of the sessions, I was going over some of my material. And at the break, a gentleman comes over to me and says, hey, Art, I really like where you're going with this program, but I got one problem here. You're talking about segmenting markets, and how do you know what market we're even considering? So, you know, he came up with this idea of the predefined market, you know, before we actually segment it. And, you know, I thought that was such a spot on comment that you got to know the market that you're dealing with. If you don't get that right, all the most sophisticated research and segmentation isn't going to help you. So I looked at this topic before I was even in the doctoral program, and I found very little work was done. There was like maybe a dissertation that was done from someone in University of Toronto. It was a little bit different, a few articles here and there, but that's what I, you know, embraced. And, you know, it's interesting, that became my early research stream as a writer. You know, I had a professor and he said, hey, if you do a great dissertation, you should be able to get 5 articles out of it. I said, really? So I used that as a motivator, and I actually got 6. And then later on, my dissertation itself, I turned that into my second book on market definition.
You know, to continue on with that path of what you just shared, where one of your professors recommended this piece of insight, are there other insights that you've learned along the way when you were pursuing your dissertation that could be interesting for someone writing their thesis or rather their dissertation to keep in mind?
Yeah, I think the key thing, Ayman, is you got to have the passion for what you're doing. And I've been on the other side of it. A few years ago, I was doing some faculty recruiting, and I went to the Academy of Marketing Science, which is a leading conference in our field. And I was, recruiting a new faculty, and I was talking to doctoral students. And I remember talking to this one international student, and he looked like a good candidate on paper. We got talking, and I said, tell me a little bit about, your research interests, and what are you thinking of doing your dissertation on? So he told me that he wants to do his dissertation on Super Bowl advertising. I said, oh, what an interesting topic. I'm a big football fan. And I was, I said, but, how did you come up with this? I mean, this seems like an unusual, topic. And he says, well, my professor told me I should do that. So I said to myself, this is not going to work. You know, when you get to the point that you're pursuing the highest level of knowledge, you got to make the call. You can't do something. This person, I'm not even sure he ever even watched a football game. He probably knew soccer, which they call football in most of the world. But, he didn't even really understand it. And here he wants to do a dissertation on that. So you got to really, be motivated and passionate about what you're doing. And don't let someone else tell you what to do. That would be my recommendation.
Certainly. To really have that conviction and command of what you're doing and pursuing, especially when it comes to the creation of knowledge. I would agree with that. What would you say is a realization or series of realizations and experiences that you might have had in life that once it clicked, it was a game changer for you, or an inflection point, if you will?
Yeah, I think that, sometimes, you got to respond to market conditions around you. And a good example of that was my very first book that I wrote on market segmentation. And I actually wrote that before I was in the doctoral program. So, thinking about it in retrospect, I was relatively young and inexperienced at that time. And I got this publishing opportunity, and then, I was giving it some thought, and I wasn't sure, should I do this? Can I do this? That kind of thing. And I spoke with a friend of mine who was an established marketing professor for many years, and I told him about this situation, and his response was, wow, they're offering you a book project? And he said, are they going to pay you to do this? And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, they talked about a nice little advance. And he says, go for it. What do you got to lose? Why not? So, that was, one interesting thing. And then related to that, after I completed the book, my experience at that time was consumer goods and services. And I was not really an expert on the B2B side, but an interesting phenomenon occurred. The publisher contacted me and said, hey, the book's going real well, but we're noticing an interesting trend that 90% of the buyers are not consumer marketers, even though that's, your focus. So any chance you might want to consider a redo in another year or two and spin it to a business-to-business approach? Because if you do, I think we even have, more potential. So I went ahead and took that excellent, suggestion, shifted gears, retooled a little bit, and the next editions focused on business, service, and technology companies. And, it was well-received. So the book was a game changer, for me, because it led to some favorable press. I got a few high profile speaking engagements out of that. and actually some opportunities to do research and consulting with some of the largest tech companies in the world. So, and again, that wasn't direction I was originally planning, but that's kind of the direction it turned into. So it's funny, you know, sometimes things work out in business in different ways than you expect, but often better.
It certainly seems to be the case for you, as you say it. So congratulations on that. What is exciting you these days?
It's exciting me these days. Great question. So as I'm getting on in my career as a professor, you know, I'm trying to, you know, think about this. And I've always liked the phrase carpe diem, which means seize the day. And as part of that, you know, at this point, I've got a strong record. So I want to do things that I find interesting and enjoyable. So I'll give you a couple of examples. So of some interesting work. I'm a fan of Harry Houdini, the legendary magician and escape artist. And I've kind of, you know, studied his, you know, career over the past few years, not thinking it was a marketing project, but just, you know, for fun. Got to do other things, right? And I found that much of his success was not because he was the world's greatest magician, but because he was the world's greatest marketer. So I actually explored that research stream and started writing a blog post and a simple presentation. And from there, one thing led to another. And I wound up getting an article published called Houdini's Magical Marketing Strategies in the Journal of Strategic Marketing, which is a leading marketing journal in the UK. And also had an opportunity recently to do a presentation for the Truist Foundation and Nova Southeastern University on Houdini's magical marketing. So, you know, that what's been exciting. The other thing, I guess, that's been exciting these days is I like to hear about my students' success in business, whether it's a new job, whether it's a promotion, or whether it's earning an advanced degree. It's always great when a former student says to me, hey, professor, I just want to let you know that I used your customer value funnel methodology at work, and my boss was really impressed. In fact, before the pandemic, a couple of years ago, I had a team of two students come to my office, and they were real excited. And they said, hey, we got some good news we want to share. We entered a case competition. I said, oh, that's interesting. And it's for Office Depot. I said, oh, that's a great company. In fact, you know, I use their products all the time. And they said, well, it's even better news, professor. We won the case competition. I said, and we're getting a scholarship and an opportunity to present our work at their corporate headquarters in Boca Raton. I said, oh, that's outstanding. I'm really happy. And they said, oh, one more thing. And the reason we won is we used the Picotti model that you taught us for marketing decision-making, problem, alternatives, criteria, analysis, decision, implementation. So whenever you hear something like that, it really makes your day when you know that you're having a real impact in some students' lives. You know, you have classes, and you're trying to reach them the best you can, but you know that you made an impact when something like this occurs. So that was really exciting.
I'm excited just hearing about it.
Yeah, I'm happy thinking about it. I still like to tell that story because it's, you know, it's what it's about.
Yeah. Do any other stories come to mind where you're interacting with students or colleagues and you had some of these interesting circumstances come about?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some, you know, having these stories a lot. Of course, these days we don't interact as much as we used to, right? You know, because you're not there having a cup of coffee as much, you know, you're working from home more. But I remember, you know, many years ago, a former client of mine gave me some advice that I thought was interesting. And it was probably because I was discussing with her some upcoming projects. And I said, I'm not really sure what kind of team I should put together and so forth. And she said, well, you don't always need a team. You know, don't be afraid to go it alone. And I thought that was pretty interesting advice. Now, I was reflecting on my career and I found that some of my most successful efforts have been collaborations with only one other person, meaning that I work well, you know, in a team of two, you know, perhaps. And I've used that, you know, strategy for the consulting firm that I had. I had a former doctoral student. We got a lot of articles published together. My first customer value book was with a co-author. But, you know, as people come and go, you know, throughout your life, you know, the constant is yourself and you got to believe in your abilities. And, you know, so I think that's, you know, a good approach is to embrace the fact of being the sole provider. And as a professor, whether it's the research, the writing, you know, teaching, consulting, what have you.
Yeah, I agree with that. Sometimes you do have to go it alone and big things could be accomplished with small teams.
No doubt, no doubt.
What is some of the best advice you've ever received?
Yeah, I guess the best advice, you know, would probably be to, you know, focus on one thing and do it really, really well. I mentioned that a professor that I spoke with earlier that guided me in the early days, you know, in my writing and so forth. And this individual was brilliant, one of the smartest people I ever met. But his academic career never went to the level that it could. And it's because he was so curious and he would jump from one thing to another. So, you know, 1 month he'd be doing pricing research. And then the next month he'd be looking at advertising effectiveness. And the next month he'd be looking at, you know, consumer behavior in Mexico. So, you know, he even acknowledged that, you know, he probably would have went further if instead of going in so many areas to, you know, just limit your expertise. And I like to joke that I know a whole lot about just a couple of key areas, business to business segmentation and customer value. So that advice has been very valuable to me because by knowing those areas so well, I'm able to have good success, you know, because I can, again, work on a research study and maybe spin it off in a number of different directions and, you know, have a very productive process, which is something that's harder to do if you're jumping in and out of projects.
I totally see that. And it seems like this professor was a mentor of yours.
He was definitely in the early days, you know, no doubt. So, and you know, it's always good, you know, getting advice, you know, from different people. And, you know, my view of it is you're going to meet a lot of people along the way and pick up the best that you can from all of them. And, you know, some people are going to have, you know, strengths in certain areas and guidance in certain areas. And, you know, you can learn, you know, from them. You know, so, you know, that's my, you know, been my, you know, approach is to just try to pick up great ideas along the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In terms of more recent, influences or mentors, if you will, who might come to mind?
I really can't say, you know, per se any, you know, one individual. I mean, I think that, I'm looking closer now at business leaders than, you know, top academics, where in the past I was, you know, more influenced, you know, by the Kotlers and the Druckers of the world. And now I'm kind of getting into, you know, revisiting Steve Jobs and Richard Branson and Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and looking at, you know, the business side. And then also, you know, looking outside of business and marketing, you know, for ideas, whether it's what did Albert Einstein think? And what does Derek Brooks, a football player, you know, think? Or I mentioned Houdini that I've been studying the last, you know, few years. And then I even go back to my father's work ethic when I was a kid. You know, so you try to bring in multiple perspectives. I mean, that's what's worked for me.
I like what you just said right now, your father's work ethic. What kind of habits do you believe you practice that contribute to your success?
Yeah, I mean, he was not afraid to, work hard and, do what it took to get the job done. And, at an early age, when I was a kid, I saw someone that, if he had to drive 2 hours a day to work and work hard and, get it done and wanted me to get ahead. He was not college educated. So I was the first one, in the family to be college educated and, or as I like to joke, overeducated at this point. I've got lots of degrees, right? But I think individuals have to look at their own perspective and see, what makes sense, for them.
Definitely. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today. I would like to find out the answer to this question.
Sure.
If you could go back in time, and if you want forward in time, and meet with one or a group of people, spend an afternoon with them, who might they be? Who comes to mind?
Wow. that's a really tough question. I had an opportunity many years ago. One of the first high profile companies that I worked for in a consulting capacity was Intel many years ago. And at the time, I didn't really know that much about the company, except that they were in the computer chip business. I had a breakfast meeting with someone at a vice president level, which was, really surprising because at the time, who was I? I was just, a local consultant, struggling writer, PhD wannabe, what have you. And he invited me out to their corporate headquarters, spent a couple of days with Intel on the West Coast, and did a segmentation project and interviewed a whole lot of people, and then went back home and analyzed what I had and went back out there 2 months later to meet with them again. So I think what would be really interesting, given that I've worked with these tech companies, it must have been amazing to be there in the early days. So if you look at a company like Intel, the late Andy Grove, what were they thinking when they started, this company, right? Or you can take that, whether it's Microsoft, in the early days or, any other. So, planning the tech company, I think would have been, really interesting. I mean, I have no regrets at all about the career path I had. And, I look forward to the next generation, future students as business leaders. And, it seems that there's been a lot of interest in entrepreneurship over the last few years. And I'm seeing more and more of my students that are bucking the trend instead of, working, with the corporate side, starting their own ventures. Some of them are working out pretty well. Others, not so much.
Definitely. Again, it was fantastic speaking with you. Until we connect again, it would be great if you could share a parting thought for now.
Okay, sure, Ayman. I enjoyed speaking with you tonight as well, I might add. So I guess what I might, recommend is that, use the marketing strategies and techniques that we do to solve business problems and do it for yourself as the product. And, do your research, pursue the best business opportunities, create stellar value, and then ultimately trust your gut, with the direction and go for it. So whatever you do, try to be like Tom Brady, be the GOAT. Be the greatest of all time. By the way, I'm a long-suffering Buccaneer fan, so I'm drinking in every minute of this newfound success, by the way. So
I totally understand. Words. I totally understand. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. So, have a great day, and hope you create superior value every day.
Appreciate it. Talk soon.
Okay. Be well. Bye-bye.
Thanks for attending the Business Podcast, and stay tuned for more episodes.